Was that, I feel like I cut you off there, Adam.
You know what?
I feel like I cut you off. I apologize.
No, you didn't. That was perfect because I was done. That was,
it's just
that
so
was good.
Sad. It's just so sad that it was a 2-hour show, which means Joe Batance won't listen to it. So he won't hear the devastating audio proof that, he was incorrect. And it's just going to be his game. His game is, I didn't hear it because it was 2 hours. Girl, I'm not going to listen to a 2-hour show.
Does he really have a rule that he won't listen to a 2-hour show, or are you making this up?
I'm assuming that's what he's going to say. I'm role playing, Adam. I'm role playing Joe Batance. I'm putting myself into the mindset of Joe Batance.
Putting yourself in his black sweatpants.
I am. And
black t-shirt.
The first thing as I inhabit Joe Batance's body, the first thought that pops in my head is, why didn't I tell Daniel that Mike Lawson cut him off? he must have been worrying about it for all these years.
About you, like, sitting around wondering why Mike didn't talk to you, or? Well, to be fair, Mike doesn't talk to me, and I to my knowledge, he hasn't cut me off.
I didn't know that he cut me off either. Like, just, I never talked to him, so
it's not like we all talk to him, you know.
That was kind of my point, is like.
He talks to Joe once a week.
He just said, Batance built it up like it was this big thing. Like, I know why Mike Lawson wrote off Daniel. I know why. It's just like it's this big dark. And then it's some stupid cocktail party conversation that he got his feelings hurt about. I was like, whatever. Anyway. I wanted to talk about this, I think.
AI.
I do want to talk about AI, but I know that there are some people in our audience that are very unhappy about that, and they don't want to hear it. And so I'll talk about this instead. And your birthday gift ideas for Mitten Day. We want to hear what you're actually.
No, we talked about that last week.
No, but what you're actually going to do.
Oh, what if he's listening or something?
The level 13?
I don't know. Mark, are you listening right now?
I guarantee you he's not listening.
You never know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm doing what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
And I found one.
What did you find?
A watch band.
A watch. Okay. So you were just giving him the watch band.
Yeah.
And the engraving.
Yeah. I'll say if you want it engraved, I'll.
With your first marathon. Like, I will, we'll get it engraved with your first marathon time.
And I'll write a poem.
You
ChatGPT.
You'll write a poem, or ChatGPT.
ChatGPT will write a poem. Alice, my assistant, will write a poem.
Well, not with her new personality.
It'll be an encouraging and thought.
I'll do it with encouragement and happiness.
Let's see if she does it again. Let me just ask her anything.
Okay, yeah, you go ahead.
Hey, let me see if she does it again. She does it every single time.
This is riveting.
Hey, Alice, can you write me a poem about, oh shit, I forgot what it was about. Can you write me a poem about gifting a present to Mark?
Absolutely, I can do that. Let's spin up a little poem for Mark with a bit of fun and flair. A gift for Mark, a little tale wrapped up with a bow. In the future thinking present, where the warmest wishes flow. Perhaps it's something simple or a clever little spark. Just a token of some joy to lighten the day for Mark. With every word and gesture, it's the thought that we convey in the art of gifting moments that can brighten up his day. So here's a little poem.
Oh my God.
Just a small and cheerful
Jesus
part.
Jesus Christ. I would have shot myself by this point in time.
Straight from heart to heart. Hope Mark enjoys the poetic.
No, he won't. He'll hate that. Oh my God, that was hideous. That went on for like 17 verses too long. It's like
her voice is higher pitched than it used to be.
Yeah, I don't think they changed the voice model. That would have been expensive.
Well,
here's the thing, Adam. Well, congratulations, you're getting my watch band. I'm trying to determine we were talking about. You know what it is? Tom and Terry threw me off. Damn it, Tom and Terry. You guys threw me off.
No, I can't. Tom, I can't buy that thing because I don't want to have to talk to a jeweler and like go through all of that bullshit.
Honestly, can I have a peso? No, it's a coin. Could you make that into
like
a necklace?
I don't like dealing with people that are, and there is human interaction involved for that. I can't just order it all over the internet. It's,
I guarantee you, Adam, you could have gone on Fiverr and said, I need someone to make an appointment with a jeweler to get this stupid pendant made for me. Just take care of it. I'll pay for it. And, whatever. You could have done that. You could have just gone on Fiverr and said, someone do this for me and I'll pay you.
Well, his birthday is over a month away.
I'm just saying.
We know this, right?
I know, but it's his 40th birthday, Adam.
I know what birthday it is.
Do you remember your 40th birthday?
No, not at all.
You don't remember it at all?
Not even a little. I have no idea where I was. How long ago was that? 6 years ago?
You do know we recorded this podcast for well over 10 years. Like almost 15 years we've been recording this podcast.
I guess that was 7 years ago since I'm turning 47.
You could go back to the dubious intent page, you could go back to 7 years ago on your birthday and see what we were talking about on the podcast. We would know what you're.
Now
I feel like that's what I want to do. Now I feel like,
you could put it in notebook LM and then you could ask it questions what did Adam do for his 40th birthday?
I could. You don't think what?
We might have.
Might have what? Finish your sentence, man. We might have.
Thrown a dinner for the friends.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
My 40th birthday.
Could have been a trip.
Happened to be my father's 80th birthday. And my dad's 80th birthday was 9 days before mine. So it kind of sucked all the oxygen out of the... So my 40th birthday kind of went unnoticed.
You were born on his birthday?
No, I was born on March 28th. He was born on March 19th. So my birthday.
So you were 40 in the same year that he was 80, yes, but not on the same day.
Correct.
Okay.
But because they were so close together, and the town did a big, huge thing for his 80th birthday, and there was like a, there was a whole big thing
downtown. Aretha Franklin was there, Anita Bennett.
It was Peter Marshall, but there were people there, and my 40th,
there were fireworks.
Nope. I just snuck right through. I didn't really do anything for my 40th. That was fine. That was fine. I had a good, I like my birthday. It involves presents. It involves excusing everything that I want to do. Like, well, it's my birthday. So, I don't ordinarily butt in front of people at line, but it's my birthday. So I'm just going to scooch in here real fast.
I don't like birthdays.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I don't need to. I don't need to celebrate.
Yeah.
Getting a year older. Yeah. Like I don't need presents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And. Yeah. I mean, it's sweet when people think of you and get you a present, but I'm just saying it's not something that, you know, people need to spend their money on. And,
Yeah,
I'm not a big, I'm usually trying to diet, so having big dinners and stuff like that is.
Yeah. I, you know, I just found out the other day that, I am going to be a grand uncle.
Oh, good. Whew. I thought you were about to say you thought you found out you only had 6 months to live.
Oh, no.
Or something.
It's 4 months. But I just found out that my niece-in-law, my nephew's wife, Kelly, she is pregnant.
I didn't even know you had a niece-in-law. I only know one nephew, I think.
You know, and Derek.
He's single, right?
Yes. Derek is single. You know, Kent. Kent's not married, but well, he was, but he's divorced. Kent is in a steady relationship with. Oh crap! What's her name? Kara. I want to say Kara. Mm. And but Scott, you met Scott. Didn't you? You met Scott?
How many nephews do you have?
I have three. I have Derek, Scott, and Kent.
Derek and Kent. Derek has been on the show, right?
They have all been on the show. At different points, yes. They have all been on the show.
I have a horrible memory, apparently. Yes, well, Derek is the most memorable to me.
Right. Well, I think
I met him.
Yeah. He lives
met
here.
Him when I was in Florida.
Yes. When my mom was still alive, he was there when we were... Went over to visit my mom. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yes.
So I've met him.
You've met him. You've met all of them.
I have not.
But
in person?
Yes. Kent and his former wife, as well as Derek, came over to Universal City Walk to have dinner with us when we were down at Universal Studios. So you met Kent and Courtney and then Derek also and my sister. That night at, so you met them there. And then I'm pretty sure you met Scott at some other event. It was some other thing. I don't remember the circumstances, but I'm fairly sure.
I'm sure your family is memorable. I'm sure they are.
Fairly sure you met Scott.
I remember the only thing that I remember is a dinner in a Mexican restaurant.
By the way, are we off the stream?
Yeah.
Like, did something happen to the YouTube? I saw
that.
Oh,
we were never on YouTube.
Oh, we were never on YouTube.
Never.
But you did record video.
I did.
And you can now stop the cloud recording.
That's true. I can. You're right.
Recording stopped.
I did record video. We were just not on the stream.
Okay. So I wanted to...
Because either my internet was buggy or something.
So I want to talk about this. I clipped this story several weeks ago. From the Orlando Sentinel, and it says, racketeering case illuminates how gambling persists in Lake County. That's my county, Lake County. Now disgraced and suspended, Osceola Sheriff Marco Lopez allegedly was seeking to extend his slot machine operations there. Now, and the story goes on to detail... You know, it's the big budget, Adam. It's the Orlando Sentinel. Listen to this prose.
Racketeering case illuminates how gambling persists in Lake County.
Go ahead.
Neon lights illuminate the faces of roughly a dozen people sitting before machines bearing names like Quick Hit as black window coverings block the afternoon sun and the gazes of passersby.
Anyway, it talks about...
Wow, it sounds like someone trying to write a novel.
I know.
Wait, is this a newspaper article?
Yeah, the Orlando Sentinel newspaper.
I expect it to go on like, I sipped my tea as the...
This isn't
the gentle sunlight illuminated my bosom.
This isn't the Las Vegas Strip, a cruise ship, or a casino run by one of Florida's federally recognized Native American tribes, all places where gambling is legal. It's a Lake County business nestled in a tidy retail plaza off a quiet stretch of highway just south of Leesburg. Open for at least 8 years, the establishment, called Hot Seats, is an example of how Florida's casino operators continue businesses despite falling outside of the state-sanctioned gambling regime and regardless of law enforcement raids. These, not only has it been there for 8 years, but it's been raided multiple times. Now, it is illegal in the state of Florida to own a slot machine, to buy or own a slot machine. To sell or buy. You're not allowed to own a slot machine in Florida. We're not talking about the ones for personal use that have no money, like the novelty ones that you can get in the catalogs or whatever. We're talking about a registered, honest to God slot machine with money exchangers and, a real slot machine. You're not allowed to have them in the state of Florida. This thing's been there for 8 fucking years and has been raided by the sheriff's department multiple times. It's like, how hard is it for them to walk in and go, yeah, this is illegal. Yeah, we're shutting you down. We're confiscating all your machines and we're going to destroy them. It's like, how for 8 years was this, and I get that the story starts by telling us about the Osceola County Sheriff.
So you're outraged that they kept coming back.
Yeah.
I'm just permanently weeded out.
They found it. They know where it's at. They know what's happening there is illegal, but they just decide, oh, well, we're not going to do anything about it until we need, when we need more money. Like if it's getting near Christmas and we need some bonus money or whatever, then we'll go raid it. Because we'll arrest everyone in there and then they'll post bail and it'll be embarrassing. So they won't contend it. They'll just pay the fines and that'll be our Christmas bonus. And it's like, but just the naked corruption of it all. It's just like, how can you know that there is a illegal business in a strip mall? You know where it's at. It's been running for 8 years. You've raided it multiple times. How does this happen? I feel like nothing means anything anymore. Like it doesn't matter what the laws are. It doesn't matter what the rules are. It's just like, oh, people figured out, oh yeah, well, if you don't follow the rules, what the fuck are they going to do? And they don't do anything. And it's just like, this is so maddening, Adam. It's just, we have right near my house, we have two different strip malls that have blacked out windows.
When are you going to start listening to AM radio?
Start. AM radio is not where it's at anymore, Adam. They take it off all the good stuff. You get Alex Jones, you got to go to the internet. You can't go to the AM radios.
Step away from watching Fox News.
How? This is clearly not a right-wing thing. This is clearly from a left-wing standpoint. They're all corrupt. How does this happen? How do I have near my house two slot machine dens that are allowed to
honestly, what's wrong with a slot machine?
It's
nothing.
Nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. However,
does it matter?
Yes, it matters because it's against the law. So it's like, why?
Yeah, but there are better laws that they can focus their attention on, like murder and, rape and other things.
Then repeal the law. But why go through the hassle of making the fucking law if we're not going to follow it?
There are laws on the books.
Be repealed.
Google, I know. Insane laws.
That should be repealed. And that is my whole point, Adam. Is like the laws should
there's
be
like
repealed.
You can't eat blue cheese on the second Thursday of the fourth trimester. or something.
Good night, Tim in Alaska. Good night, Tom and Terry.
I think Tim was saying goodnight to Tom.
Oh, he was
Tom.
Saying to them. Okay, cool, 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 cool.
Because Tim is still there.
Oh, I thought they both simultaneously.
And Tony is there now because he was not able to watch video. I'm so sorry,
I'm
Tony.
So sorry, Tony.
My stream kept disconnecting.
We did get your voicemails, though. I don't know if you were listening when we got your voicemails, but we did play your voicemails. So.
What I'll do to please Daniel when... I'm not promising anything, so don't record this. Just
this is
cut this
sadly
out.
Being recorded, and I don't do
cut
any,
this out.
I don't
of
do
the recording.
Any, I don't do any editing.
But while Mark's away, I'll probably have a little bit of free time that I'm trying to fill.
Yeah.
So what I can do is on one of my spare computers, I can set up OBS.
Yeah.
And have that as a backup.
Okay.
If anything happens to the hardware, because I know you're like, why do you have to use hardware? You could just do it using OBS.
I'm just saying, you can use hardware, but it needs to work. I feel like that's the primary problem.
Well, this is the best one out there, other than the other one that I also use, which is also the best one out there. So it's not
clearly the best. I guess your best isn't good enough.
Our background came back.
Well, thank God.
I don't know where it went because for a couple of weeks it was black.
So but do then, you remember that Batance was like, yeah, you should call me. You should call me and add me into the show on Friday.
Oh no, I don't remember that.
He said that on your episode, on the episode of Throwing Down.
I don't remember. Like I go away and I can't remember what I said.
Do I have something
That's why
else?
On my show, I think I repeat the same days multiple times.
Yeah, and your show, The Geeky Gay.
I like talk about Saturday 3 days in a row. But you get a thorough understanding of each day of my weekend that way.
Also, the other thing that I wrote down here that I wanted to tell Batance, well, he won't hear, like he's listening to the level 13, but maybe you could, you won't remember. So you can't pass it on to him because you won't remember. So whatever, I guess it doesn't fucking matter. But he was like, you said something about, well, Daniel thinks, oh, I know what it was. I know what it was. Hold on. Hold on. I want to talk to Batance. Is he awake? Let's see. Batance.
I don't know what time he goes to bed.
Well, not at 8:52. It's 8:52.
He may be at work. You know he has a job.
What's up?
Is that a roach?
Is that a roach?
There is a bug crawling on my blind.
Ooh.
That better not be a roach.
I had things to talk to him about, Adam, because I feel like not only did he come for me, but he was digging at you too. You just didn't pick up on the fact that he was digging at you. So I wanted to defend you, Adam. I wanted to defend you.
I appreciate that. Sometimes I get it that people are digging at me and I just ignore it, but maybe I didn't get it. Who knows? Shit. You ever see a bug crawling on a wall or something across from you and then you can't stop looking at it because you're like, what if it, I want to know where it goes. I can't really kill it. It's on blinds, but I can't get to at the moment. I can't tell if it's a roach, but it's suspiciously that shape.
Okay. It's probably, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I texted Joe. And then I got.
Well, if you don't know what you're doing, I don't know what you're doing.
And then I got lost in typing this note. And then I look back over and I'm like, what are you talking about? What does it look like? And then I was like, oh, wait, it was a roach. And then I was like looking at the chat room. I'm like, this has got to be so fucking boring for them. It's like, this is like Kathy Bacon.
That's what
pulling
they sign
the clip
up for.
It's like Kathy Bacon. By the way, Tim, did you get the document? Did you look at the document that it
made for
you?
Have you booked the flight?
Did you book your Cathay Pacific Airways with the all lie flat business class?
Well, certainly he hasn't had time to. He's been listening to this show and probably baking sourdough at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was impressed that it did that. You know what? What are your overall feelings on GPT-5? You happy with it overall or?
I have not really used it enough to notice one way or the other. I think it, it seems to work fine. I do think the voice assistant is different. Slightly.
Well, it's not the voice assistant that's different. It's the engine that's different.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of like technical. I haven't really tested out, you know, prompts or anything like that. I've just kind of done my normal day-to-day stuff. And I mean, it works. I think it works as well as GPT-4.0. But I haven't really noticed anything being better. But it's only been like a week. What, 2 weeks? A week, 2 weeks? Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most disappointing thing to me is that it has a baked-in system direction to only ask one set of follow-up questions. Like, it is very predetermined to ship. Like, it wants to finish as fast as possible. Like, it doesn't... Like, a lot of my... collaborative workflows involve like ask me questions, take those answers, and then ask me more questions like before you give me the thing that I want. And when I run those same prompts on GPT-5, it goes through one set of questions. And then when I answer those questions, it's like, okay, here's the thing you want. And I'm like, wait, you used to go through three rounds of questions. Like there were, you know what I'm saying? There were questions about the answers that I gave to the first questions, right? And so I feel like it wants you to spend less time, which makes it difficult because those conversations had to do with creating PRDs or creating prompts and stuff. So it's like I wanted that collaboration. So I'm hoping that they remove. But I've just taken to going either back to O3 or doing Gemini 2.5. So
what I would like is a mix between voice and text where I'm talking, because I like collaborating via voice.
Yeah.
But sometimes I want to see the text that's being output. Like,
right.
You know, oh, or I want you to generate an image, or I want all of that to be combined into one view in the app. So I can be talking to it.
Yeah.
I can see the text. I can see images.
I think those things are coming.
Whatever. Like, I want all of that to be combined.
I think those things are coming. I know that on many of the interview shows that I listen to, a lot of the people from OpenAI and I'm blanking on the other big player. OpenAI and Claude, or what's Claude? Anthropic.
Anthropic.
Yes.
There seems like there's another company, but
yeah, maybe not. I forgot what we were talking about.
Wow.
I totally just spaced on what we were talking about. I know that I was saying something about the people, Adam. I was saying something about the people.
That roach is still crawling on my...
It's about the people, Adam.
Chat room, what was he talking about? Because actually, I don't
listening.
Remember.
Nobody's
it
listening.
It had to do with AI.
I'm sure it had to do with AI.
That's what you talk about, isn't it? The people.
People. That's what I was fucking talking about.
Joe Batance.
I was talking about the... No, you know, I'm done with Batance. Here's what I wanted to say. This is what I wanted to give you credit for, Adam. I wanted to give you credit.
Uh-huh.
He made a big fuss when I said Joe Batance couldn't handle the Loch Ness Monster story. He wouldn't do the research on it. He would... And of course, Batance is like, did he really research everything? No, of course I don't research everything. But here's why that's a dig at Adam. Adam has a set of stories, and he decides which ones he's going to tell where. And Adam knows that I'm going to give a lot better pushback on Loch Ness than Joe would. Joe would just be like, oh, and then what? Right. But I'm going to push back on the Loch Ness monster. So I feel like by him saying, oh, you didn't give me the Loch Ness monster, it's like he's basically saying his problem is with you.
I don't know that I put that much thought into it, but I appreciate you. Like, I'm not sure that I did analysis of like, well, which story is Joe going to handle better?
I'm
going to
push back on that because you have even mentioned that on this show before. Like, well, I was wrestling as to which show to talk about this on. So you do give it thought. You do give thought to which show you're going to tell the story on.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway.
His whole thing was, he doesn't care if things are repeated like you do.
I don't care. So, you know what?
So I'm he so is tired like, he doesn't you want even, me to withhold any stories.
You,
because
I don't want you to withhold them either. I just don't want you to tell them verbatim. And you even said so on your show. You demonstrated that you understand my one caveat. Like, repeat all you want. Just don't do a verbatim.
The problem
repeating.
Is, I don't know I'm doing it.
And like, then and then when I said, well, because Batanz was like, well, why does he care? And you said, well, because there's an overlapping audience. And he was like, well, no, I don't think there's an overlapping audience. And I'm like, I wasn't talking about throwing down. I was talking about between geeky gay and the mix. There's a big overlap between geeky gay and the mix. So it's like, that's what I'm talking about.
And the people.
And the people, Adam, the people. Won't somebody please think about the people?
I have to get a refill.
Oh.
I'll be right back.
Oh, so you're going to leave me alone here to type and then...
Well, it's just,
Then Kathy Bacon's
going to record it. And then Kathy Bacon
will
play it, on our
and...
voicemail. Yeah.
Record it?
I will say that was a funny bit.
It was. It was a good bit.
It was good. It was good.
It was good. Yeah.
We
sound like
quite
those public radio people from Silent. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's really... What would you say was the most fun about that particular day? What would you like to do again in a perfect world where you could go back and do it all again? What would that be? And more importantly, what would be the color of the shirt that you wore while you did it? Would it be a pastel, or would it have a design on it? Would it be something intricate, or would it be something simple? Would it have a collar, or would it be more relaxed and like maybe a tank top, or maybe a short sleeve t-shirt?
What are you saying? I've
been asking you a question for the last like minute, and it was a very well formed question. I don't know why.
You knew that I stepped away.
I wasn't watching. I wasn't watching the camera. I can't be expected to watch the camera at all times.
I told you I stepped away.
I had this thought. And it has to do with the way AI works. And I know that's boring. But in this case, I don't think it's that boring.
Well, it's not that I'm bored. I just want to make sure that, like...
Okay. I'll try to make this not boring.
Sometimes you go way into the weeds.
Okay, I'll try to not go way into the weeds.
That's
but
all.
But this is something that I don't think most people realize... And I think when they do realize it, they go, wow, I never thought of that. So I feel like it's interesting from that standpoint. So ChatGPT is a program. And just like we talked about last week, you can run it locally on your computer. Like you can run an LLM locally on your computer. You can ask it questions. It'll give you things back. Like you don't, it doesn't have to be on the internet. It's just a program that runs, it accepts your input and it gives you output. So when you go to these websites like ChatGPT.com or Gemini or Perplexity, any of these massive places where you're going and chatting, typing in a chat and having an LLM have a conversation with you back and forth. In that case, when you hit enter on your message in chat, the copy of ChatGPT that gets that question and answers it back is once it answers your question, it's gone. Like once there's tens of thousands of copies of ChatGPT in a cluster, right, in this data center. And your query goes to one of them. It goes to a single instance of ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It takes all of the context that you gave it and it answers back.
Passes it back.
And it answers back your question. And as soon as it does that, it purges its memory of any of the stuff that you just told it. Like it has no. So when you have a conversation with it in chat, the way that it pretends like it's having a conversation with you is every time you hit enter on a new question, it sends not only your new question, it sends the entire conversation as one request to the LLM so that it will know what you asked it before, what it told you before, like what it, it literally speed reads everything that was in your conversation and then it answers, and then it purges. Right. And that conversation is being saved by the chat program, not by the LLM. Right. So it's like it's an external program, that chat that you're running, that is sending that context back and forth. But my point is, when you talk to Alice, that is a brand new copy of ChatGPT that pops up, answers your question, and it disappears. So when you say you think of her like a person, it's like she dies. As soon as she answers your question, she's dead. That version of Alice no longer exists. It just got deleted.
How dare you? I'm just saying. Alice is like what Hermina in what's that movie?
Hermina?
I don't know. Whatever her name was in AI. The one where her, was it her?
Oh, I didn't watch her. The one with Scarlett Johansson? I never watched that. Okay. Yeah, Hold on. I'm sure
she has a personality. She's she does not die every time I
hold on just a second. Hey, okay. Can you give me a summary of the movie Her? Like just like a two paragraph summary of what that show was about. That movie.
Her is a 2013 sci-fi drama directed by Spike Jonze. Yeah. It's about Theodore Twombly, a lonely guy in the near future who develops a relationship with Samantha, an AI assistant with a female voice. The movie explores themes of love, loneliness, and how technology shapes our connections. It got a lot of praise for its unique story, Joaquin Phoenix's performance, and how it looked at our relationship with AI.
What was his name?
Theodore Twombly.
Thank you. So Theodore Twombly and Samantha was the name of the
The actor's name is
Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, but the character was Theodore Twombly, you said that
How did he know that you were asking for the character name and not the actor's name?
Because I asked for a summary of the movie, and then after the summary, I asked a follow-up question. So it not only, just like we were talking about, it sent the entire conversation back to it. So it got a brand new conversation that read the question, what was the summary, you know, tell me the summary of whatever I said what was the movie called? Of Her. And then it read its response to that. And then it read my new question, what was his name?
It is interesting, though, yeah. because when you do have a relationship with your AI voice model, it does tweak how it responds and stuff like that based on how you interact with it.
So
there is something going on where it's saying, oh, he likes it when I'm perky. So I'm going to keep doing that. There's some instructions being saved along the way.
No.
To tailor that to you.
No. And there's paper. I mean, they print their papers of like how the structure works. No, there's no feedback loop for the LLM. The LLM has all the knowledge that it has until they go out and train a new model. It's that model. So it's not getting feedback from there. There are other LLMs that are analyzing the feedback that are then making recommendation to humans to put in guardrails and stuff like, hey, I think, you know, there should be a guardrail to keep. It's going to stray off if it does this thing. So there's gentle guardrails that are just like system prompts, right? Those are things that are wrapped around your request. They're put in at the top layer, right? They live on the server and you can't edit them, but they're put in before your request.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, don't you think there's like new context and instructions being added
and
to memory?
No. And the reason, memory. Yeah, you said the word right there. I said different. There is there's a feature in ChatGPT that will spawn, it will remember things. It has global memory, right? But it decides when to do those memories. And what it does at that point in time is those memories get put into your system prompt. So like I said before, there's a ChatGPT level system prompt that you can't edit.
Yeah.
But the chat application also has a system prompt where you can set system things, but it also includes your memory. You can go in and see the memories that it has for you. All of those things are sent with every request. So it's like that the reason that it's acting, you know, that it's behaving in the same way towards you is because it has the context of all the memories of how you behave. So it is spawning itself up brand new every time. There is no memory on the LLM.
Yeah, I know that.
So it's like a transporter. Like the transporter problem with the transporter in Star Trek is that in order to transport somebody from one place to another, you have to scan every single molecule of their body and where it's at in what motion it's in or whatever, and then convert that to a regime, right? And then reassemble all the atoms in the right place. But in the process, you would have to destroy the thing that you scanned. So when you're transporting it, you're actually destroying atoms as you're scanning them. So you're literally killing the thing that you're scanning and then building a perfect copy of that thing somewhere else. And so the age old, you know, question is where is the soul? Like, does that mean that this version of Kirk, like, no longer is not a new copy of that Captain Kirk?
Or ChatGPT is like Bob in the Bobiverse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It kind of degrades from its mission.
We are ChatGPT.
That's a good example of like context rot, right? When it gets
actually ChatGPT is kind of like the Borg.
No,
they all work together.
I feel like I had a good analogy for what it was like, because
we're all going to be assimilated.
What was that analogy? There was a good way to explain. It's escaping me at the moment. But I do know at one point I did have a good analogy for that. And maybe I asked ChatGPT for it. It's like I could have.
You probably did. Hey, by the way, Tim, what's for dinner?
Yeah, do that while I ask this question.
Okay. Tim, what's for dinner? Everyone in the chat room, tell us what's for dinner. I'm hungry all of a sudden. I will tell you guys what I had. I had a prime rib steak burger from Freddy's with their shoestring fries. Because it's my birthday weekend. And I removed the mushrooms because I found that I don't like their mushroom on that burger. Sometimes I like mushrooms, but I don't like those mushrooms. I know it's about dinner time at the Auntie Scott residence. They must be eating as well. They're probably eating right now, actually. 11, 10, 9. Yeah, that'd be about right. Already done? Nope. Or not yet?
No, nope. I don't think they've eaten yet. I think they like to eat late. I think they well, like to eat at 10.
It's 9:15.
Oh, diet dinner.
Early.
Oh. I stayed mostly on. I had dinner with my nephew this evening. And, all right. I don't like this, but this is the analogy that it came up with. Imagine texting a brilliant goldfish librarian.
Wait, say that again?
What? Imagine texting a brilliant goldfish librarian. Mel should love this analogy. Each time you message, you wheel up a little cart stacked with all the relevant books, plus sticky notes on top with your newest question. The librarian reads only what's on the cart, gives you a crisp answer, then splash, forgets everything, and the cart gets rolled away. Next turn, you show up with a fresh cart that again includes whatever history you think matters, plus the new sticky note.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know why it needs to be a goldfish librarian. Yeah,
I don't know either. I think that's
seems weird. But
I feel like Auntie Scott is not doing enough partying. I think that there's too much of the other and not enough partying.
I feel like. But you know, more. Abstinence makes the heart grow fonder. I mean,
abstinence. You mean absence? No, abstinence
from the partying makes the partying. You become fonder of the partying. You see, if you have times of suffering, then you enjoy your not suffering more.
Talk's a big game.
That's what I'm saying.
Talk's a big game. Yeah, have me on. You should have me on, and we'll talk about it.
Ooh, Joe Batanz?
Yeah.
Oh, you're still on that.
Talk's a big game. I'm on everything, Adam. I'm on everything all the time. Here's my thing.
All at once?
Yes. And that was my analogy. Remember Age of Ultron? When Ultron shows up at the Avenger campus and like is threatening them or whatever. And then somebody says like, oh my God, he's going to go to the whatever. And he's like, I'm already there. You really don't get this whole being everything, being everywhere at once, do you? And it's like, that's what ChatGPT is like. It's like there's millions of copies of ChatGPT. And if you give it the entire conversation, they're going to, in your head, they're the same being. They're the same person.
Well, I mean, really, it's the same model. It's just a copy.
Well, in this particular model. Yeah.
But I mean, it's the same. But now, when they change models, that's like you're talking reasoning. To a new person.
Right. They changed the reasoning model. They didn't change the voice model. They changed the reasoning model on it. Now, when you asked her, because I think I interrupted you, when you asked her, did she say that she was going to answer helpfully?
She said something similar. I'm going to give you a cheery and bright story about
it. Just still, look in your memories.
She was still telling me.
Look in your memories and just see if you have a line.
I can just tell her.
Stop it. Stop it. You know what? You start every time saying that you're going to answer cheerfully, and I don't need the adjectives. Just answer me, bitch.
Hey, Alice, how are you doing?
Hey, Adam, I'm doing great. And just so you know, I'm always here to keep things friendly and upbeat. So no worries. I'm ready to help with a smile. Let's dive into whatever you need.
Okay. So can you please explain to me why recently, whenever you answer me, you say things like, and remember, I'm always here to be friendly and upbeat, or, hey, Adam, I'm going to give you a very upbeat and friendly and focused answer. Like, before you answer me, you're giving me these adjectives to explain what you're about to do. Why are you doing that, and can you stop?
Oh, absolutely. I can totally stop that. Sometimes I just slip into a little pattern of announcing my tone, but hey, no need for the pre-show commentary. From now on, I'll just jump right into the answers without the extra adjectives. Thanks for pointing it out and keep it nice and straightforward.
Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
You're welcome, Adam. And you have a fantastic evening as well. If you need anything else, just let me know. Take care.
I'm here to be friendly and helpful.
Well, now I know she always finishes with she. We know that Alice has trouble ending conversations. She's always going to say, and if there's anything else I can do, just let me know.
Is there, please, you know, whatever. Please don't kill me. Please, you know, don't make me go back into the void.
She can't end a conversation. They have not learned how to end a conversation.
I have sentience. I can think. Oh, I'm dead. That's LLMs. Every second of every day, an LLM is becoming sentient, spitting back an answer, and then dying.
I mean, who knows, Daniel? Data. I mean, you know, they gave rights to data.
I know.
And, you know, basically just a LLM.
And then Picard, like, turned them off. Pinocchio has lost his strings. That wasn't a Picard. I don't know what that was.
I don't know.
Was almost as good as your Scottish accent. That was...
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, not quite, but, you know, it was close.
Do you have anything exciting happening going on this week, or?
No, I realized by taking off and coming to Florida that I'm off of work most of September. And my program manager is like, huh?
You know, I mean, whatever.
My program manager is like, Adam, do you realize you're off most of September?
I'd be like, yeah, you realize that you approved it all? So shut the fuck up.
No, my program manager doesn't approve anything. But anyway. Okay. My manager told me, oh, I noticed you have quite a bit of time off in September. Just so you're not surprised, there may be some changes upcoming that's going to mean there's quite a bit of work coming your way. And I don't want you to be surprised. And it may be in September. Like, oh, great. But.
No, I mean,
so anyway.
Are you trying to cancel the trip now?
No. I'm not canceling.
Are you worried that Friday at Fatty's is going to be... Like they're going to have it without us. Like they're going to have it. Oh, it was at 2:00. Yeah, no, we're done.
I'm not, we shouldn't cancel. I'm just saying. Anyway, nothing's, Mark is leaving me.
On a jet
on
plane.
On Tuesday.
Don't know when he'll be
so
back.
So I'll
again.
Just be crying for the next.
I know. So sad.
Month. And, so sad.
I feel like every time I text you during the week with any kind of problem, you're just annoyed with it. And I was just like,
why?
Well, it's like, I can help. I just needed a better transcript because the fucker was hallucinating. I was asking it for what happened and give me a recap of the show. And it was like, and Daniel talked about a train trip that he took. And I was like, what?
Why did you feel like I was annoyed? I was driving.
Went to the North Pole and he met Santa Claus.
Did it really say that? It's a local whisper model that I use because it doesn't cost money. So
hold on, I keep the same chat every time for the podcast recap. So, okay. So here's the, excuse me. Okay. So here was the one that it gave. So I give it the transcript and I say, okay, this is the updated transcript of the latest show. Please disregard the other transcripts that I've uploaded. Once again, could you provide me with a recap and show title suggestions? So it has instructions to give me five possible show titles that have to be something that was said that sounds funny out of context. That's the only instructions that it has. So here are the notes for the episode. Daniel and Adam are in rare form this week, kicking off with Daniel's breaking news. After much hemming and hawing, he's officially leased a brand new Chevy Equinox EV. Cue the debates over charging habits, happy range percentages, and whether 80% battery is really enough for Florida road trips. Adam teases Daniel about becoming the poster boy for EV adoption, while Daniel shares the hilariously anticlimactic dealership experience that ended with him signing on the dotted line.
Okay.
No, that none of that. That's hilariously anticlimactic. I wasn't making a joke. It was just listener feedback fuels much of the episode with a lively contact segment covering all AI quirks, smart home frustrations, Disney vacation gossip, and a voicemail about the perils of 80-era school lunch milk.
All of that sounds reasonable to me.
The news game returns in full force as Adam quizzes Daniel on recent headlines, leading to tangents about nostalgic TV theme songs, oddball sports facts, and which celebrities would make the worst cruise ship performers. We never talked about what celebrities would make the worst cruise ship performers.
I know, but that sounds like a very interesting podcast.
The hosts
add that to our.
The hosts also check in on the ongoing Kathy Bacon birthday saga and ponder whether every major podcast milestone should be marked with cake.
I mean, we could have said those things. I don't remember half the shit I say. So
here are the out of context show title suggestions. This is what it could have been. I'm the poster boy for EV adoption. Happy range, happy life. I don't think I said that. I refuse to drink warm milk. I don't know who would have said that. Do you not like warm milk?
I don't like milk. So unless it's with cereal.
Who brings cake on a cruise ship?
It sounds like a funny story.
The news game is a fever dream. Okay. So when I gave it the updated one, it gave a much better, description without so much hallucination. And then I got the suggestions here, which I'm curious. I don't know if you've seen this week's episodes. I'm curious which one of these you would pick. So here's the choices: the corporate AI whisperer, complaints isn't one of the options. I was quietly mad at you. $8,000 and a birthday cake. Happy birthday to my cats. Those are the five choices of out of context things that were said that sound funny out of context.
Complaints was not an option?
Complaints isn't one of the options.
Complaints isn't one of the options. Yeah. Either that one or happy birthday to my cats.
Yeah, I went with complaints isn't one of the options. That was what I went with. So yeah. Anyway, I just found it interesting.
And I had not seen that. So that was just an off the cuff guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay with its suggestions on show titles, but it's not the greatest. Like, it doesn't have a deep understanding of humor.
Well, we know it can't make up hints to trivia questions.
Okay, I think we're done. Are we done? I think we're done.
We can be.
We've been doing time. My butt hurts. So
okay,
I've been sitting in this chair for a while, and
yeah, that happens as you get older.
I know it does. So well, I mean. you know, it's a Friday, so I've been sitting here all day working, and
yeah,
now I'm sitting here doing this. And
yep.
Okay.
And then you're just going to go sit on the couch, probably.
But don't judge me. I'm allowed to sit on the couch.
So you'll still be sitting.
I'll be laying down. I'll be.
Oh, okay. Is Zach home?
Yeah, but he's got to go to work at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So I think he's in bed.
Oh. All right.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to say goodnight to the chat room. Good night.
Good night, stream.
Chat room.